has been a good morning already. I feel like God has spoken through so many and has spoken to me. And the thing that I came today wanting to share with you is to talk about prayer. And so it's just really encouraging to hear so many people share of their interaction with God and their prayers to God and how God is moving and acting in each of our lives. And even for Arden to share what he just shared made me think about after I graduated from seminary last spring, I asked God, I was thinking, what do you really want? You know, because I think sometimes God asks us, what do you want? And I was thinking, well, what do I really want now at this point in my life? And the things that I asked God for were two specific things that I felt God calling me to and the desires of my heart of what I really wanted. One was to have a ministry of spiritual direction to people, and the other was to be able to speak, because it's been a long time coming for me, and I just feel compelled to be able to share the passions of my heart about my Lord with people. And God has answered both of those prayers in my life in some very deep and meaningful ways. I have the opportunity to spiritually direct students at George Fox Seminary, which has just been a great joy to me. And unfortunately, through the suffering of Arden, I've had a chance to speak to all of you. And what a great place to be able to begin speaking in public to a group of individuals and people that I feel very supported and loved by. And so I hope that I can give back a little bit of something to you from what God has been speaking to me. And I'm so thankful too, Arden, for sharing how you shared that and how all of the things in our life, even painful things, happen for a purpose, and that God takes us to places where we can touch other people. So I'd like to begin today by asking the question, why pray if God is going to do whatever he wants to anyways? And I think that often we ask ourselves that. At least I ask that question. Does it even really matter? Sometimes I think, you know, I pray and I pray and I pray, and things don't quite turn out the way I wish they would. And so I think, well, God, you're going to do whatever you want anyway, so why even bother? And so I've been reading a lot about prayer lately, obviously, because I'm standing here talking about it. And the best answer that one of the best answers that I read about was we pray because Jesus prayed. And Jesus is our example of how we're going to walk through our life in relationship to God. And Jesus prayed because Jesus was in relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are in relationship with one another. And so that is the reason that we are called to pray, because that God wants to have a relationship with us. And it's all about relationship. And we can't have a relationship with anybody unless we're willing to communicate, unless we're willing to come to one another and be real. And that's what God asks for us to do with him. So the passage of scripture that we're going to look at, if I can get this turned on. Oh, yeah, I got to do it this way. There it is. Is in Luke chapter 11. And Jesus was with his disciples during this time, and he said he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say..." And one thing that I want to look at on that first is that he said, "When you pray." Jesus didn't say, "If you pray." He said, "When you pray, pray like this." And and then after that, we have the very short version in Luke of the Lord's Prayer, what is called the Lord's Prayer. I've highlighted some parts of this for you to look at, and the orange, it's supposed to look orange, doesn't look real orange to me here, but the orange parts are God, and the yellow parts are us. And the thing that I love about the Lord's Prayer is it's a communal prayer. When Jesus said, pray like this, he wanted us to pray together as a community, that as a community, we pray together. And it says, you know, when you pray, give us our daily bread, forgive us of our sins, and so on. That so I'm just going to read it. It says, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. The thing that I love about the Lord's Prayer is it starts, Father, and again, it's relationship, that we are in relationship to God as our Father. And I even like to think of it as even as our parent, and it's such a beautiful description of relationship with God, that we're his family, that we are intimate with God just as we would be with our parents. And God wants us to come to him in that way, in an intimate way, but also in a way of respect. Even though the earthly description of Father, it still isn't completely, it doesn't completely parallel, because there are fathers in families that aren't good to people, good to their families. But God, as our Father, he's the good Father. The expression in the original language was Abba, which really meant intimate and respect, a respectful relationship, but somebody you knew you could trust. And God as our Father is somebody that we know we can trust. The next part of this prayer, it says, your kingdom come. And what that's talking about is that we need to long, just as Jesus longs, for this world to be set right, for God's kingdom to begin on the earth. And we have the beginning of that through the resurrection of Jesus. That was the beginning of ushering in God's kingdom back to the way it was intended to be. And so when we pray, we can long for that. And I love it. I was reading a book by Philip Yancey on prayer, and he talked about we can pray for good things to happen in this world, for, you know, we can pray for the homeless, we can pray for the sick, we can come to God with all of those requests, because that is what God wants too. We can want that, and we can desire that, because that is God's desire. And then the next part, it says to give us our daily bread. And the actual word for daily bread there too isn't just bread and water. It was all kinds of food. And God said, I want to provide for you daily, for your needs daily. I want to give this to you. God's hand of wanting to give to us. I love that. He cares for his own, and we're his children. So again, it's kind of that idea of God as our Father taking care of us. I love the fact that I've had the last year to live with my son and his wife and their little boy Noah. And they're moving away, and I'm sad about that. But it's been such a great, great year to see a little child again on a daily basis, to see my little grandson totally trust his parents. I mean, he doesn't get up and think, man, I wonder if I'm going to have food today. No, I wonder if my needs are going to be taken care of. He knows. Mom and Dad are always there. They're going to take care of him. They're going to meet his needs. And that's the way God is for us. God is always with us. God is always there, ready and waiting for us to come. And I love to get to see that. I also get to see Noah not so happy with his parents too, and fighting against them and struggling with them and thinking that he's not getting his needs met, thinking that this isn't what I want. And he so yells and screams and cries and does what he has to do, because that's what little kids do. They're very honest and very open. And you know what? We can do that too with God. God wants us to be honest and real with him and come to him however we are. And he can take it. He loves us no matter what. I mean, I watched the patience of Zachary and Erica with Noah. they love them no matter what, you know. It's like, and they're really good parents because they're very calm with him and very loving when he's just throwing his fits or whatever, you know. And I think we're like kids like that. I mean, we just are with God. At least I am. Sometimes I'm throwing a fit, you know. You're not giving me what I want, and I don't get it. And I just love it that they're an example to me again of that, of God's loving hand, just waiting for him to calm down, waiting for him. And the thing about Noah that's great is he can switch like that. I mean, all of a sudden, then he's happy again. It's like, and I think we do that too. I think as adults, we can tend to do that with God. The next part of this prayer says, forgive. Well, let's see. It says, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And really, the purpose of that is we are called to forgive others. God says, you know, I forgive you. I'll be loving and forgiving to you. There isn't really anything you can do that is going to make me stop loving you or stop forgiving you. But God says, if you want to experience that forgiveness from me, you're going to experience it by offering it to others, by forgiving those who sin against you. And sometimes that's difficult for us to do. We only receive God's forgiveness through his grace, not because we deserve it, but because God just lavishes it upon us. And in the same way, we're to offer that to others. And when we do, when we forgive those who sin against us, I think that's one of the greatest ways that we can really understand and experience the forgiveness that's been given to us. So you should ask yourself, do I forgive or do I hold grudges? You must give up your right to grievances. In other words, because you know what? People do you wrong. People do me wrong, and I do people wrong. And I don't know if any of you have ever experienced somebody not forgiving you, but I have, and that's a burden to carry. It's a hard thing. When you go and ask for forgiveness and people just say, I've had people just say, nope, not going to give it to you, you know. In fact, I don't even want to have a relationship with you. And that's something that we get to extend to one another, is we get to extend forgiveness in a way that says, yeah, you did me wrong, but that's okay. I'm going to choose to forgive and to love you. And the last thing that this prayer talks about is leading us not into temptation. And this is God's power to protect us in the time of temptation, because we will all be tempted. We will all come to a time of being tempted, maybe different for each one of us, what we're tempted by. But it's going to come. And so we can ask God, be with me. You know, protect me from wanting to give into that temptation. And God will do that because he loves us. So the whole idea of the Lord's Prayer is it's a community prayer of submission and dependence. And I love that. It's like coming to God and realizing who God is. God is our Father. He wants to have relationship with us, and he wants to meet our needs, and he wants us to be dependent on him. And I'm sure glad that I have a God that I can depend on. In the next verses, it says, in verses 5 through 8, it says, Jesus tells them this story. And again, this is about relationship. I love this story. And again, I've highlighted it because God, even though the story isn't, it's more of an indirect story of God, it really is speaking of God as our friend. And I love that thought of God being my friend. It says, and he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. I like to think, how do we relate to God in this way? God as our friend. I mean, this isn't a complete crossover because I don't know that God necessarily gets irritated with us, and I don't know that God is sleepy and thinking, no, I'm not going to get up. But the point of this is God saying, come to me with boldness. Come to me. And this actual story is a story about a man who has somebody arrive at his door at midnight. And in the ancient world, hospitality was a big deal. And there were strict laws that if somebody came to you, you didn't turn them away. You met them and you took care of their needs. And so in this story, when this man has this visitor come and he's unprepared, he's thinking, well, what do I do? Should I be rude to this guy and just send him away? Or, well, I know, my friend. I can go to my friend over here and he'll have food. The thing about the ancient world as well is that they didn't have preservatives. So they had to collect their food daily. And so he didn't have food for that time, but he thought, I bet my friend does. I'll go to my friend's house and knock on the door. Now, for him to go to his friend's house, also, back in the ancient world, they all lived in one. They all slept in one room, and dad was usually mom and dad would be in the middle, and all the kids would kind of surround them. And so to go and start pounding on his door at midnight and waking, you know, and saying, get up, I need your help. He's thinking, hey, you're going to disrupt my whole family. You're going to get the whole family up, you know. And so he's like, don't bother me, go away. And what I love about this story is it says it was because of his persistence. That doesn't show up too well. The key to the story is his persistence, is that he continued to knock. And it's like, no, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. And it says eventually the guy got up, and it's like, okay, here, let me help you. So God wants us to come to him boldly. Now, are we always going to get what we want? No, we're not. But I wanted to tell you a story about when I was growing up. I was the kid that was always sent in to ask. It was just me and my sister, but it was always us and a few friends, and they'd say, you go ask because you'll be able to convince them, you know, convince mom and dad to let you do something, or let you go somewhere. I was kind of the one that was very persistent. And so on my 16th birthday, I turned 16, you know, I'd had my driver's permit for 6 months, and I was really excited to get my license. And so I went down, took the driving test, got a 96. I did really, really well. I was very proud of myself. And so then we went home, and I asked my mom if I could take the car up to the Y, uptown. I wanted to go to the YMCA for something. And she said no, and I just kept, oh, please, it's just up there, I'll be really careful, I promise, you know, just let me take the car, please, that's all I'll do. It goes straight there and straight home. And so she finally, all my begging, all my boldness, she gave in, which my parents usually did, because I was very persistent. And so I took the car, drove up to the Y, turned in some paper, something that I had to, and got back in the car, and I pulled out of the parking lot, and I was kind of at a intersection where the traffic going the other way didn't have to stop, but I had to stop, and I had to turn left. And so I was looking, I was really being careful. I mean, I just got my license, so I was being careful. And I was really overlooking. I was looking and looking, making sure that there was no traffic coming these ways. But what I didn't realize, or I didn't see, was there was a car stopped on the other side of the street coming toward me, and I didn't see that car. I never saw that car until I hit it. But and so the car comes across the intersection, and I just plowed into the side of this car. I was in a Pinto. That was the car I drove. I was in a Pinto. She was in a brand new Cadillac. And I hit the side of her car, and she kept going, so I just scratched all the way down the side of the car. And her car was, I mean, it was a mess, but it was drivable. My car was not drivable anymore. So I had to pull it back into the parking lot and ask her if she'd take me home. And so she did. She was a very nice lady. Actually, she was probably in her 30s, 20s or 30s, I don't know. But anyways, and it was her parents' brand new Cadillac. And so I asked her if she'd give me a ride home. She said, yeah. We get in her car, and she says, well, I want to stop because it was my parents' car, and they own this Mexican restaurant in town. She said, I want to stop and let them know what's going on. So she stops at the Mexican restaurant. I'm sitting in her car waiting to go home thinking, my dad is going to kill me. I mean, I just thought, this is it. My life is over. And she goes up and has a margarita with her parents, and I'm sitting there waiting in the car. So it was a pretty tense day. And so finally she comes down, she takes me home. My mom came out of the house. I remember that. And I remember meeting my mom on the lawn. And then I just fell apart. I just completely lost it because I was holding it all in until I got home. And I mean, I was just a mess. And my dad, I love my dad dearly, but he had a temper. And when you crossed my dad, it wasn't pretty a lot of the time. So I was really afraid. It was his car, too, the Pinto. And so I was really afraid when he came home from work. I thought, he's just going to kill me. And so I think my mom gave me a tranquilizer or something. She gave me a pill, and it knocked me out, which was good because I was hysterical, so it was bad. And so then when my dad came home, it was like, oh, this is it. And my dad just loved me. He just was so kind and compassionate to me and loved me and was so thankful that I was okay and told me it's no big deal. I mean, he was just so compassionate to me that day that it stayed with me forever. And I love that picture that I have because that's God's kindness and compassion toward us as his children as well. So that was a time when things didn't, persistence paid off in some ways, and it did pay off in dividends to me, even in experiencing the whole thing, even though it wasn't what I had planned. I'm very thankful for that time of my life. So we can go to God as with great boldness and persistence, and sometimes we'll get what we want, and sometimes we won't. The next verses 9 through 13 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And here again, it's persistence. God never says, no, don't come to me. I don't want to hear it. That's not God's heart to us. He says, keep asking, keep coming to me because I want to have relationship with you. I want to be with you. As I was preparing to speak today, I was thinking about the last few times that I spoke to you, and I thought, God just had me, brought songs to my heart and my mind that fit well with what I was going to say. And I thought, oh, I don't have a song this time, and I really wasn't looking for one. And then I had this conversation with Bruce about some of the things that I was going to be speaking on, and I thought, this song fits. And the funny thing is about this song, I got to tell you, because it's kind of silly, but I didn't plan to share this because it was Halloween either, but I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Because I thought about us, about the whole idea of us coming to God with our requests. It says, ask, search, knock. God wants us to come. Come to me, ask me. What do you want? God says, come. And then I thought of this song, and I know it's familiar to many of you. It actually came from the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and it's called The Candyman. It says, who can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew, cover it in chocolate, and a miracle or two? The Candyman can. The Candyman can, because he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. Who can take a rainbow, wrap it in a sigh, soak it in the sun, and make a strawberry lemon pie? The Candyman. The Candyman makes everything he bakes satisfying and delicious. Talk about your childhood wishes. You can even eat the dishes. Who can take tomorrow, dip it in a dream, separate the sorrow, and collect up all the cream? The Candyman can, because he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. And as I was reading this passage, I was thinking, sometimes we think about God like the Candyman. You know, he's the Candyman. Just come. Well, God, why aren't you giving me this? And why aren't you giving me this? And I want this, and I want this, and you're not giving it to me. I don't get it. You know, we pray for healing for people, and they die. What is that, God? And the thing is that God prayed the same for the same things. You know, Jesus didn't heal as many people as he healed on the earth. There was a lot of people that didn't get healed. There was a lot of people that didn't get the answer they were looking for with Jesus either. And that's not what this passage is about. It's about the relationship. It's about saying, you know what? We live in a broken, diseased world, and we don't always get what we want. Jesus didn't always get what he wanted. He prayed, God, isn't there another way we can do this besides me going to the cross? And the answer was no. This is how it's going to be, and you need to trust me. And so we need to be in a relationship of trust with God. That doesn't mean we can't ask. God says, please come to me. Please be honest with me. Please share your heart with me. I care about that. And I think about that again, like with Noah, and I think he asks. He doesn't always get what he wants. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes you don't get what you ask for. But God says, please come. It's about our relationship. And the thing that I love about this passage as well is that, you know, he gives the example, again, of a father giving fish instead of a stone for, you know, when the child comes. And he goes through all of those things, but he doesn't readdress those. He says, what will God give us? He'll give us the Holy Spirit. He'll give us himself. It's about relationship. God wants us to be in relationship with him and know that he loves us. We can know that even in the midst of the worst, and many of us have experienced that in one way or another. And if you haven't, you will. I mean, that's just the life that we're living. We live in a very broken, broken world. This is an icon from a 15th century Russian iconographer who represents the Trinity. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it actually was a representative of the Trinity when Abraham was under the oaks of Mamre and the angels came to minister to him, to come to him in that way. And they're sitting at a table. This is probably isn't the best representative of the picture, but they're sitting at a table and there's an open space for which invites us to come and be with God. Be with me. Have relationship with me. Come to me in boldness. Don't be afraid to come to me and trust me. It's really, that's what this whole passage and this whole teaching on prayer from Jesus is about God wanting to relate to us and be with us. And so I love this this portrait of that, because it's very inviting, saying, please come be with me, please share your life with me, and let's be in relationship together. And so my heart to you today is for each of you to stir up in your hearts that desire for God, to allow God to do that in you, to bring you to a place of just wanting to be with God, longing to be there, at sitting with God, because God longs to be with you. And so I just would like to pray for you now. Father, I thank you so much for your deep love, your kindness, and your compassion. And Lord, I know that sometimes it's really hard when we pray and it just doesn't seem to be that you are giving us what we want. And yet we need to trust you and know that you know what we need and that you love us. Help us to remember that in the midst of the trials that come our way. And I pray, Father, that we would find you in those trials and that we would know that we are never alone. You are always with us. I thank you that you have taught us how to pray. I thank you that you tell us to come as a community, as we have this morning, and to come to you. I thank you that you are always available. You are not sleepy. You are awake and you are ready. You are ready to meet us whenever we come. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us how to pray. Amen.